The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
The other day, I read a small plaque that stated, "Don't ask God to guide your steps if you're not willing to move your feet." It said the author is unknown, but it's a very appropriate statement, and I like the saying. Needless to say, after reading this, it caused me to think, do I trust God? Do I trust God? Now, with this in mind, would you please go with me to the book of Psalms 119? We begin reading in verse 41. 119, verse 41. "Let your mercies come also unto me, O God," or "O Lord, even your salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your judgments. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I shall speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Your hands also will I lift up unto your commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in your statutes." Brethren, reading these comments from King David here in saying, "I put my trust in you," and he backs it up with all of these different things that he says that he's doing, do these verses describe us and our trusting God? I think we need to ask ourselves, do we? Do you, do I, do we really trust God? Now, before we answer too quickly, let's take a look at this topic of trusting God. I have simply titled this particular message as Trusting God. Then before we get too deep into the topic, I'd like for us to also ask the question, so what is trust? If we're asked and told that we need to trust God, what is trust? Well, Webster's Dictionary defines trust as, and I know there's different versions, but this is the one that I came up with, trust is the belief that someone or something is reliable, good, honest, or effective. In the Old Testament Hebrew, the word for trust is batak, and it is found 134 times in the King James Version. The word simply could be translated as trust or to take in refuge, which is an interesting sense of the word, and I'm not really going into that aspect of this word trust in this particular message today. Then over in the New Testament, the Greek, there are three different words that are used in the New Testament for the word trust. The one that I would consider as the main one that most of the verses focus on, the word is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And all three of these Greek words mean faith, belief, trust, confidence, fidelity, faithfulness, to expect, to confide in, convince, to have faith in. So I think when you really get down to it, especially in the New Testament, to talk about the word trust, you also have to associate it with the word faith. Now, that should be an understood here, but in this particular message, I'm not really focusing on the word faith, I'm focusing on the use of the word trust. And I'm sure that we would all agree, our loving Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ are the personification. They are the real deal of these different words as defined in the dictionary, as it's defined in the Greek, and as it's defined in the Hebrew. Now, I think this is the time and this is the place for us to ask, so what does it mean to trust God? Trusting God can be simply stated as He is good, He loves us, He is always good, He always loves us, He has the power and the authority to help us, He wants to help us, and He will help us. Now, that's simply stated. That's not the whole usage as it is found, the word as it's found in Old and New Testament. But I think we get a working relationship with the word through that simplified meaning. It means feeling comfortable with whatever God decides. And yet, brethren, way too often we tend to trust ourselves or our friends or our money or the stock market or even the government more than we trust God and His Word. I mean, we know we are to trust Him. Yet, at the same time, we tend to do too many things our own way, working out details the way we want it to be, as opposed to looking to God, and whatever He says to do, that's what we do. Notice with me over in the book of John, chapter 15, notice what Jesus tells us over here in John 15 and verse 5. John 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me. Now, before we go any further in the verse, who's He talking to? Us, the church. He's talking to us. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Jesus is telling us that of and by ourselves. Now, yes, I understand this is more focusing on in the spiritual realm and spiritual dealings. I understand that, and we can take it that way. You want to limit it that way. I don't want to limit it necessarily that way. I want to focus on God in everything. And that's how I would like for us to approach this and think about this. What He is telling us, we really can't do anything of and by ourselves. We have to focus on God. He lives in us. We want Him to reside and live in us. And we're not going to trust Him? Choosing to place our trust in God, and when I use the word God here, I am meaning Father and or Son, is necessary if we are to ever do anything that will produce godly fruit. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Many of you are going to know this. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, I thought Jesus just said, we can't do anything of and by ourselves. Now here we're being told, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where trust comes from. That's where trust comes from. The important point here, brethren, is that as believers, we are to have confidence in Him, trusting Him for help with everything in our lives, in all situations in our lives. God wants us to put Him first, at the top, in the forefront, first in our lives. So please realize, brethren, that absolute trust is an essential part of our entire relationship with God. Matthew 6:33. But seek you second, third, fourth, somewhere. It's not what it says. And if you look up this word in the Greek, it means at the forefront, mean the first thing first. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means living his holy way of life. And all these things should be added unto you. What things? All the things that we're trusting in him to do for us, with us, in our lives. God's desire, in connecting with this particular topic, God's desire is that we will put our confidence and our trust in him at all times in everything. Go with me to the book of Psalm 9 and verse 10. And they that know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken them that seek you. Now, I want you to notice something still over here in the Old Testament. I want you to notice in the book of Proverbs. You're going to be familiar with these verses. You may even have these committed to memory, and that's a good thing. But go with me to Proverbs 3. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verse 5. I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, here's the thing. These verses are either true or they're not true. It is one or the other. He's either going to do it or he's not going to do it. Do we trust him that he's going to do this? It's a yes or no. It's a yes or no. So with what we have stated to this point, I believe that we need to ask ourselves, then why is it that sometimes we don't trust God? I mean, why is it that sometimes we try to work it out on our own and not relying on God to work it out? So that brings us to where we need, I think, to ask another question. Where does trusting God come from? Well, as simply as I can state it, trusting God comes from knowing who God is and knowing what his word says. Then we prove we trust him when we do what he tells us to do. Don't ask God to guide your steps if you're not willing to move your feet. Even if it means waiting a long time before we see the outcome of our decision to trust. Even after we've decided we're going to trust you, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Whatever he says, that's what David says back in Psalm 119 and verse 128. I perceive all your precepts to be right concerning all things. I hate every evil way. That's saying, I trust you. Whatever you say, that's right. And that's what I believe. That's what I believe in. And that's what I want to do. That's where we have to come to. Even if it means waiting a long time before we see the outcome of our decision to trust. This kind of trust requires wisdom. And brethren, I think and I hope that we all understand it is God's word that gives us wisdom. Therefore, when we study His Word, meaning the Bible, our mind begins to be renewed. By that I mean so that we will no longer think like the world around us thinks. They don't believe in God. They don't trust God. They're not trust God with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. They're doing all things leaning to their own understanding. We're not to be that way. Brother, we want to begin thinking like God thinks. And here's the point. We can. We can. That's what we see in the Bible. Go with me to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Again, you know these verses. Romans 12, verse 1. I'm going to read this today out of the New American Standard Bible. It's just a little clearer in its wording. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. Don't think like the world. Don't be involved in it in a way, whatever it is they're doing. This is be not conformed to the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Again, this is what we're told to do. And again, these are some of those verses that we have to come to the conclusion. Okay, we believe this. We tend to do this. We either believe this is right or it's not right. This is either true or it's not true. This is how we are coming to the place that we really trust God. We're allowing God, Jesus Christ in us, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to renew our thinking, our mind, and our hearts so that we're not like the world, but we're like God. That's what He desires. Go with me, if you would, to Galatians 1 and verse 4. Galatians 1 and verse 4. Who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. You know what this is telling us? Let's put it in another term. God gave us Jesus so that we could trust God. Because of what Jesus did, we can trust God. Am I kind of implying that if we're not trusting God, we're not really believing that this? Well, I think it's in that ballpark. I think there's a problem there. It could be that there's a lack of really understanding. Maybe we really do believe Jesus did this. Maybe we really do want to trust God. Maybe it's just that we haven't really seen it in this way. But God gave us Jesus and to be in our life so that we could trust God. I want to repeat the phrase that I used just a moment ago. We want to begin thinking like God, both Father and Son, like God thinks. We know with certainty that Jesus trusted God totally and completely, right? Right. And we know as believers, having God's Holy Spirit in us, we are to have the mind of Jesus Christ in us. I'm just layering at what we're actually trying to get across and what we're seeing here. Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You could also read here Galatians 2, 20. I'm not going to. I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Jesus Christ lives in me. And I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, again, that's either a true statement or a not true statement in our lives. It is a truth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This can happen. We can think like God thinks, Father or Son, and not like the world. We can have our minds renewed because Jesus Christ is living in us. Therefore, Jesus trusted God totally, completely. So can we. I want us to read now some verses, not all, but some verses about this topic of trusting God. There are many, many more, and I just have some that I've picked out. I'm not saying these are the best ones or the only ones. I'm saying this is some. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. That's trusting God to do that. Proverbs 3, we read this earlier, we'll read it again, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him out of some of them. Is that what he says? All of them. Now, we either trust God, this is true, we either believe it to be true, or we don't trust God for it to be true. It's true. It's true. Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you know not. We could do an entire sermon on that one verse. 1 Timothy 4:10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Are we going to labor and are we going to be suffering reproach because we believe that we trust him? Yeah, that's what it says. I want to go back to one more, and this is back in the Old Testament. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust you in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Therefore, as a result just of these, like I said, there are many, many, many more verses that we could use. Therefore, we all know God can be totally trusted. Right? Right. Therefore, I mean, if we believe this to be true, then why is it so hard for us at times to fully trust him? I mean, is it because our world has been so deceived by Satan, causing us, not dealing with the world, but us as believers, to not trust anyone or anything, not even God? Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives or which is deceiving the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels or demons were cast out with him. I mean, think about it this way, brethren. For many people, even believers, focus on God and the hard times or the difficult times in our lives can be especially difficult. I mean, I understand it. Therefore, brethren, that is why it is so important that we choose trusting God. It has to be a choice. Just because we've been baptized, just because we came through a baptismal counseling and came to the point of real belief and trusting and repenting, and then we were put into the watery grave, sins were covered, washed away, then we came up out of that watery grave, we had hands laid on, that does not mean that we're just automatically going to trust God. We still are going to have to choose to trust God in every situation. I mean, even when we might not see a way out of the difficulty in our lives, we must choose to trust Him. Doing this, meaning focusing our minds in the direction of trusting God, we are then demonstrating that we believe in His loving kindness, we believe in His faithfulness, and we believe in His trustworthiness. You would probably all agree, what we want during these hard or difficult times in our lives is we want out of it. We want it to end. We want peace and we want happiness back in our lives before the hard, difficult time, before it ever came into our lives. We want it to be back more like it was before. Am I right? I think so. So when we do this, again, I mean, when we do this, when we're focusing our minds in the direction of God, when we are choosing to trust Him, it is then that we can be filled with peace and happiness. At this point, I'd like for us to take a look at an example of someone trusting God, even in the difficult times in his life. That person, that man, is David. In the book of Samuel, we can see a major contrast between Saul and David. As we really get into the book, we begin to learn, we begin to see that what really separates these two men from each other, some of the aspects, some of the things, such as David was a man after God's own heart. Saul had a different heart. We also see some other things that separated these men from each other. David was obviously, as we know from studying, was a man of prayer. Saul was not. David repented quickly. We can go through his sins. As soon as he understood what it was, he repented. He fell down and he fasted and started repenting. Saul never repented. He more than likely felt embarrassed. But we don't see an example of repentance. I want us to notice some other important aspects in David's life of choosing to trust God. At a young age, Samuel was sent to the family of Jesse to anoint the next king. He wasn't even brought in. He was somewhere between 13, 17 years of age, is what it seems like. That's the best we can come up to. But somewhere in that age of 13 to 17, David was anointed to be king over Israel. We see that in 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to read it. Yet, David had to trust God through the next several years. From the age of 13 through 17, whichever age it is, he had to trust God all the way to age 30. So that's another trusting of another 13 to 17 years. You look in 1 Samuel, that's 15 chapters before he ever becomes king. At the same time, while he was being chased and hunted down and threatened all over Israel by Saul, who was trying to kill him, And Saul was the king that God had rejected because he wanted a man like David to be king over Israel. We know from this book at least two different times, could have been more, but we have recorded for us at least two different times when David had an opportunity to kill King Saul. That's in 1 Samuel 24, verse 4, and 1 Samuel 26, verse 8. However, both times, he refused to touch Saul because he was God's anointed. He was trusting in God and not killing him or even allow his men who were with him to kill Saul. Why? Why? Because David trusted that God would eventually establish him as king in God's own time and in God's own way. He knew that. He believed that. He trusted God to do that. Brother, I have learned over the years that most of the time when troubles come in our lives as believers, it comes when God is working to shape and mold us to fit in the body as it pleases Him. He, God, wants to transform our thinking so that we will think as He thinks. That's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Oh, brother, what a privilege it is that God would want to share His mind and His way of thinking with us in order that He could bring us to be in His family. He wants us to be an example to others about how to truly trust God. And we also need to see and understand that He also wants others to do great things in our lives when we trust Him. That's also true. At this point in the sermon, I want us to see another awesome example of a person showing trust toward God, choosing to trust God. Before we do that, first of all, I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to read verses 11 through 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the earth are come. All of these things happened back there to Israel and David and all of these things. They all happened and they were all written for us. That's what it says. All of things happened unto them for examples for us. Verse 12. Wherefore or therefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now, what would cause this? Trusting in me and not trusting in God. Verse 13, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, or God is trustworthy, who will not suffer, not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it, that you may be able to go through whatever it is. Remember I said, He shapes and molds us to fit in a body where it pleases Him. Now, with this in mind, I want us to take a look at that example of a people showing trust in God that I mentioned just a moment ago. So, if you would, go with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm not going to take the time, but I would think it'd be good if you did, if you read all of it, verse 1 all the way down through verse 14. We're not going to, but that's just kind of setting a background. But in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14, it tells us that the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah's son. And then we come to verse 15. That's where we'll start reading. And he said, this is Zechariah's son, "Hearken, you, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat." So he's talking to all of the people, and he's talking to Jehoshaphat, who is the king. "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude." Listen to this. "For the battle is not yours." Talking about difficult times. If you don't know the story, I would suggest that you read this whole account. I'm not going to. I'm just reading these particular verses because they scream out to us of people trusting God in a difficult time. "For the battle is not yours, but God's. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, be not dismayed. Go you out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And again, like I said, if you've never really studied this, I suggest that you study this account and see what's really, really going on. And then verse 18, "And Jehoshaphat," who is the king, bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem what did they do? Fall before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Why did the inhabitants of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem do this? Again, I say it again, when you really understand what happened here, this is a remarkable example of choosing to trust God. And brethren, surely we have all realized that as part of the body of Jesus Christ, it's being part of the church of God, we need to ask ourselves, and we have some trust issues with God. We see these incredible examples through the pages of the Bible, and we're going to question God's trust, you know, his trustworthiness. Here is the thing. We surely all know that God will test and try us. It is part of his process to build trust in us. It is a testing for us to prove to ourselves, as well as it is to all others who know us, that we truly know that God is perfect in his decisions, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the outcome is. God is in charge. We believe it. We trust it. It is also so that we will produce godly fruit that will glorify him now and forever. So, brother, what we need to realize here is that trusting God means being at peace with his answers to our prayers. I mean, you know, difficult times come. I don't know if it's the first thing most people do. I would hope it is. But one of the first things is we start praying and asking God. What we tend to do is we don't say, "Please bring me through this as quickly." We say, "Get me out of this now." That in itself may be a challenging God's faithfulness, trustworthiness. Because his word says he's going to deliver us out of them all, meaning he's going to give us the ability to endure through them. Because he has a purpose allowing these things to come in our lives. Please think about this question for a moment. Are you, and I could put my name there too, are you always asking God to bless what you are doing? In other words, whatever circumstances that you're involved in, a problem, whatever. And yet, when do you ever seek what God is blessing and then do that? When he allows his problems to come upon us, we say, please deliver us out of this. Okay, we believe he's going to. I trust that he's going to. But you know, I know the word of God, and so I trust it. He's going to endure. He's going to give us all that we need to be able to go through it. Why? Why does he do that? To shape and mold us, to prove to us that we can trust God, that God can be trusted. And it proves it to others around us who know us. You remember the opening quote that I gave? You remember that? Don't ask God to guide your steps if you're not willing to move your feet. Trusting God does not mean thinking that he will eventually come around and give us what we want. That's what a lot of people think. It's not what it says. Trusting God means being at peace with whatever he wants, being at peace with whatever he does, knowing that what he wants and what he does for us is absolutely the best thing for us in this situation. Trusting God means that we come to embrace his will. Trusting God means that we have a lasting peace about it. Friend, one of the keys to our peacefully trusting God is to pray constantly, asking him to guide us and bless whatever it is that we choose to do. Because what are we stating? We trust you. We trust you. Then, after asking, we need to be on the lookout and actually expecting his intervention and his blessing. However, and whenever, he chooses to answer. And I know this is going to be a rub for some people, whether it be in this life or at the resurrection. I'm okay with God's answer. Yeah, we keep going. We keep telling him what we would like, but all the time it's your will. It's not what I want. It's what you want, but this is how I'd like for it to be. But it's your will. It is having that attitude of your will be done. You remember Passover night? That's what Jesus prayed. He knew from the beginning, from the foundation of the world, what was going to transpire. He knew that he was going to be beaten to where he was just before death. He knew that they were going to drag him through the streets. He knew that he was going to have nails driven into his hand and his feet, and he was going to be put on his pole, dropped into the ground. He knew that he was going to suffer, and he knew he was going to do all of this. And he didn't do it for him. He did it for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. Sweat falling out like drops of blood to get it right. Said, is there any way, and I'm not making fun or light of anything that Jesus did, but is there anything that you can do another way that you've thought? Can you take this cup? And what did he say next? Not my will, your will. We have to, brethren, we have to come to the place where we can honestly state, I trust him with everything and at all times. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you all, brethren. God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.